Hey, Rick Perlstein. How are you doing?
Hi, Patty. I'm doing great.
I know you were listening.
Crazy weather today.
It is a little bit. Do you know, in the last few days, have you been tracking, like, I should be carrying an umbrella with me? Or do you like it to be a surprise?
I just wear the hoodie.
You wear the hoodie? That helps?
Yeah.
I can't. That doesn't help me at all. It goes right over your headphones. We are hanging out with Elliot Serrano, who is our chief geek officer, and Rick Perlstein, who has written the books The Invisible Bridge, Nixonland, and Before the Storm. And what's the book you're working on right now?
It's going to be called Reaganland.
Reaganland. I like that. It's kind of like Nixonland.
But with Reagan.
So what's going to come after? Because you've got Invisible Bridge, Nixonland, Before the Storm, Reaganland, and the next one has to be
my screenwriting career. Everyone's clamoring for a Trump book.
Well,
but I've been in this game for 20 years, and
I think I told you I really want that convention movie with the brokering. I mean, I think this.
Okay.
Don't
all
you
right.
think that that's? I think that that sort of
send me a treatment.
Okay. I can do that. I started one a couple of years ago, like when I first met you. Charles Turk and I decided that that would be the movie. I think I told you, didn't
Which
I?
Which convention?
The
1924 that went to 103 ballots.
No, I believe it was the 76.
76.
Wouldn't that be the one?
Oh, yeah. I just was out in New York shooting a
or 68
series of documentaries about the 76 convention. It's going to be like 30 for 30, you know, the ESPN thing.
Yeah.
But for political conventions.
Don't you? Wait,
it's going to be on PBS this fall.
Of the ones that is it really?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
But don't you think that one of those conventions would be a great sort of like in the sort of genre of game changer, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, at the 1976 convention, that was the one where, you know, Reagan was facing off against Gerald Ford. Ford was the boring, you know, like incumbent president. Reagan was the challenger. And all his crazy conservative supporters came with bullhorns and they were disrupting things. So the Ford people had to get the attention of the TV cameras.
Right.
So that's when Betty Ford came out in this gorgeous dress and started dancing the aisles with Tony Orlando. And this is like, you know, to win the convention, they had to kind of
right.
like, you know, so this is pretty crazy. And then Haley Barbour, this guy from Mississippi, they were having a secret meeting underneath the bleachers and he had to distract the press from reporting on the meeting. So he started reciting the names of the counties in Alabama
exactly.
backwards, right?
I mean, come on.
It's great stuff.
Do you want
great
that?
Stuff.
Would you want that one or would you prefer 68? Or would it be?
Oh, I think 68.
Oh, am I insanely?
Yeah.
I'm insanely late? Do I have another break before the news? I didn't know I had another break. Oh, I have to go. I'm insanely late. More
later.
For this on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Our sidecar tonight, Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer for all things geek on Pretty Late. You can go to Elliot Serrano, no, geektome.net.
Geektome.net.
And follow him on Twitter at Elliot Serrano, two L's, two T's, two R's.
Two R's.
All that stuff.
And also on Facebook, where I've been doing a lot of live videos in the studio.
Just a little bit. What did I do? Oh, you don't have any hotkeys? Are you taking power away from me, Craig? Craig has come in the studio and revoked my powers. Rick Perlstein.
It's like 50 Shades of Grey in here.
I don't know if you noticed, I tried to fade the bump and it didn't fade. You were talking over pretty loud music.
I didn't know.
And the
notice.
Reason why was because Hotkeys was on over there and in here.
I've gone deaf in my headphones.
Oh, got it.
Because
yeah, I couldn't
you
get
were giving
rid of the
me
music.
Instructions earlier. And
you couldn't hear them.
And I blew right past them, apparently.
Yeah.
I apologize.
No problem at all. So the reason I did that just over your shoulder right now is because I had to make sure I had control of the bumps.
So Rick Perlstein just made a reference to you and I being the couple in...
The couple in 50 Shades of Grey.
Which
I heard that.
I started watching a little bit of because I was reading a little bit of something you wrote, Rick, on Facebook about how this is not really that bad of a movie. Well, that if you look at it as a sort of empowering movie...
It's kind of a feminist movie because basically this is a super controlling guy and she walks away from him. But apparently in books 2 and 3, not to spoil it, she basically tries to change him.
She does.
Yes.
And this is where women really need to not... I mean, you know, he wants to have a contract with her. They have a meeting.
Contract, right.
And some of the things... And I can't use the language which she says is not allowed. Let's just say, you know when you do a fist bump? You know, right? But it's somewhere else.
Right.
She says that's off the table.
Right.
And he questions that. And I was like, no, that seems reasonable to take that off the table.
Well,
or off of other things. Yeah.
Basically. Breaks into her apartment and rapes her and expects her to sign a contract.
Very odd. Yeah.
But then she walks away, which is, you know, it's basically like the whole premise of the movie is take this guy who's as superficially as attractive as possible. He gives her sports cars. He's super handsome. He's a billionaire.
But he takes her Volkswagen away. I was really mad about that, too.
No one's taking away my 99 Corolla. I don't care, you know, how many, you know, like CEOs you are, you know.
How do you get that? I mean, like, you know your car. It's a Volkswagen. That looks like an 80s,
right.
70s.
So it turns out he's this giant jerk, right?
Yes.
And
she puts up with it.
No, she doesn't. I mean,
she does for a while.
She
doesn't demand her car back when she sees a sports car.
As my darling wife put it, she gets tickled with a feather. She gets a couple spankings, and she has a good old fashioned.
Yes.
And that's it.
Toss. A good old fashioned toss. I don't know.
Turn that up to 11.
Yeah.
Right.
And spin.
And then she's like, okay, I'm done. And she walks out. And of course, it's going to sell 120 million copies because this is what millions and millions of women around the world want to do with their controlling husbands.
Have you seen them? Have you read the books at all? As a writer,
I don't read books.
Okay. Because I tried, and I even tried like skipping to the good parts, and it was a lot of skipping.
Yeah.
Hi, Elliot. Have you read any of
Okay, first, yeah. I am just astounded at what a dramatically different segment this one is compared to the previous segment.
Yeah, right.
And all it took was for Craig to come in and hit a button, and all of a sudden we're 50 Shades of Grey. I thought you were going to make he went all Governor Rauner on you and vetoed, and then
what she said.
Yeah.
He's went all Governor Rauner on her.
But anyway, you have to listen to, it's on YouTube, you have to listen to the audio version of 50 Shades of Grey as read by Cookie Monster.
Oh,
it is. It
that
is
would be
brilliant.
A totally different tone.
It is brilliant.
Yay.
Do you have any of your books on audio?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
All of them.
Nixon Lands on audio and Invisible Bridge is on audio. I think Before the Storm is for reading for the blind.
Oh, no.
You can get it from the library if you're blind.
Okay,
but I'll come over and read it if you ask me really nicely.
Which, by the way, we are trying to make sure that the Harold
Naked.
Washington Library. The Harold Washington Library does not close their blind. They are taking away
what?
Some of their books. They're threatening to close it down in June because of budget cuts. So your book, Before the Storm, might not be available after June at the Harold Washington Library for the blind. So you might want to get involved. Maybe that's what we do.
That'll bring me to Springfield.
Maybe that will get, we get all the authors who right. find out that their books will no longer be available for the blind after June. And I don't know what else to do to get anyone's attention. There's transportation that's not available to many people with disabilities in the suburbs that are being cut. But I know that you focus, you have a lot of, your intention is in a lot of different directions.
Mm-hmm.
But you are, I think that your work when it comes to the rise of the Republican Party, I can't imagine what your head is doing over the last year. Let's go back, because I haven't talked to you that much about
yes.
Trump's campaign. What were your thoughts when he came into the candidacy, saying that he was going to run in the primaries?
I was actually kind of took him pretty seriously from the start. You did too?
I did too.
Yeah, and, for a bunch of reasons. I mean, funny reasons. You know, it's like campaigns are so bureaucratic. I mean, like Hillary Clinton has something like 500 employees in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Right? And when Hillary Clinton, quote unquote, tweets something, you know, it goes through like 8 layers of bureaucracy.
Sure.
And when Donald Trump tweets something, it's just, you know, him sitting in his pajamas with Melania and, you know, just whatever's
Where's
off the top
that selfie?
Of his head.
I mean, like, how is he not taking a selfie of that?
Well, actually, I read that he never lets anyone see him without his shirt.
Okay.
He's very uptight. But, you know, so the very fact that he has that kind of guerrilla flexibility gives him an enormous tactical advantage over just about any other politician. And the fact of the matter is, you know, he's been on this TV show. He claims it was a big number one hit. He's lying like he does in everything else. It had a couple good seasons. But even in its worst seasons, it was seen by like many, 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 many more times people than ever watch CNN or MSNBC mm-hmm. or even Fox News. And so Americans were introduced to this character. And this character who's omnicompetent, mm-hmm. you know, omniscient, before whom people grovel as if he's like a terrestrial god. And that's the image that the people have. And, you know, for a lot of kind of people who don't follow politics too closely, and I don't mean it's because they're dumb. It's just people are busy and they have jobs and all the rest.
And they're watching The Apprentice instead.
They're watching The Apprentice. And suddenly that's, you know, that kind of gives him like, you know, like, well, his whole life, right? He was born on third base and he thinks he hit a triple. You know, that was kind of a triple too. You know, he already had this, you know, enormous profile with the public. And then, you know, once he started kind of Republicans for a Generation, and this is kind of what my books are about, have been practicing what people call dog whistle politics. Right, they say things that you can kind of hear as you know, kind of abusive of your favorite minority, but then the politician has plausible deniability. You know, I didn't say that.
Right.
The most famous example is Ronald Reagan started his campaign in 1980. His first speech was right down the road where the Ku Klux Klan had murdered civil rights workers in 1964, and he said he was for states' rights. So that was a dog whistle. He was telling the South, "I'm not going to intrude on your way of life."
Even if
Donald
that means
Trump,
taking the life of someone who was working.
Well,
it's
just his way of saying, you know,
is what it sounded like. The implication being that that's what they heard.
That's what they heard, right?
Which
and
we've talked about
say,
before.
Right. I believe in states' rights. I think that the Constitution is important. Yada yada yada. Donald Trump takes the dog whistle and he turns it into a bullhorn,
right?
And that's a very, very powerful thing. Whenever people say, "I like Donald Trump because he's not politically correct," you know, the fact that he gives people license to be jerks. You know, it's just kind of a very powerful thing, especially if you feel kind of dispossessed in this economy. No one was punished, right, and all the rest. So, I took him very seriously from the start, as to answer to your question.
Well, and the reason I took him seriously was for similar reasons. There was so much outrage over the last six or 7 years that you could see on Facebook and people being frustrated. And even just the images that they would post as to what made them just pissed.
Right. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Or even like, I remember the first time it really occurred to me that there was such a disregard for the human aspect of the president was seeing President Obama's face on a turd in a toilet bowl.
Right.
Right. It was on. I was like, first of all, I unfriended that person. I don't need to see that in my stream. But I thought, well, is this really where we've come? I had never seen anyone's face.
Yeah, the coarseness and the grossness. Right. So we had these kind of civility norms, and once kind of the curtain was rung down on that, the guy who had that power to do that was granted a lot of kind of reverence by millions of people. And the fact that he also does something that's very kind of smart and interesting. A lot of the stuff that the Republicans were doing for decades and decades about the economics, the idea we're going to cut Social Security, we're going to, you know, kind of cut entitlements, we're going to lower taxes on the rich, that stuff was not popular.
Right.
The popular stuff was the demagoguery. It was Reagan's optimism. It was kind of the cultural stuff. And Trump got rid of that stuff.
Right. Everyone was surprised that, you know, it doesn't matter what his stance is on abortion or what it is on gay marriage, because he changes it constantly.
He changes it constantly.
It doesn't those elements don't matter, whether he can say that I'm going to tax the rich. And all the things that we assume to be the foundation or the components of
the
conservatives.
The Republican Party, yeah. He doesn't care.
No, right. Just blew it up. And we're like, I don't know what this party stands for.
50 years of work, you know, to kind of build up this identity for this party. And he just said, poof.
Yeah.
It's gone.
It's just anger and outrage.
It's just anger
and
outrage.
And saying whatever we want.
And, you know, who doesn't want to say whatever we want? You know, it's like I'm sitting here, you know, trying to censor myself, not saying anything that will get you in trouble with the FCC.
Right.
And if you know, the great orange monster, Donald Trump, you know, descended in a celestial cloud into the studio and said, "Rick Perlstein, you can use any word you want on the air with Patty Vasquez," I'd be like, "I love you, orange hair monster," you know?
Craig, do you have Donald Trump's, when we come back, his, what was it, the environmental speech?
Yeah.
Okay, let's listen to that when we come back.
Sure.
All right. And how you doing, Elliot?
I just got frightened. I'm afraid Donald Trump's going to descend from the heavens.
Is your passport in order?
Oh, yeah. I already have a B&B in Toronto.
There's a Mabel match.
You look suspiciously swarthy.
Oh, more after this on 720. We'll take care of the swarthiness after this. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by Sidecar Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer. Go to geektome.net to see all things Elliot. And we also have Rick Perlstein on the air. You can go to his website, rickperlstein.net.
I haven't updated it in like 6 months.
Oh, then we'll go there and see what happened 6 months ago. It's fine. And follow him on Facebook. You can follow his adventures, travel, writing, and otherwise, his
Actually,
thoughts.
I'm up to 5,000 now.
Congratulations.
I have to kick a few people off.
I know. I'm at 4,996 with 1,000 pending friend requests. What?
We got to lobby Zuckerberg to kind of bump the ceiling.
Well, we're supposed to go to like page. We're supposed to go to fan pages, which you can like Patty V Show on Facebook. And...
Okay, I do have an Invisible Bridge fan page.
So oh, Invisible Bridge.
Send people there.
There you go. Invisible Bridge fan page on Facebook. And also joining us is our bartender for the weekend windup, Nick Summers from Howls and Hood. Hey, Nick, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
How's the family, by the way?
Fam's good. I got one coming in August, too.
I know. Yeah, you can have a Leo baby.
You know, I got married
King
in
of the Jungle.
You got married in August?
In November.
In November?
Yeah.
You haven't been here since November?
Yeah.
No, come on. You've been here since you got married?
No.
My God, has it been that long? You kept blowing me off. You're like, oh, I'm traveling. I can track all the messages we have on Facebook.
I got to have something to talk about, Patty.
Are you trying to stock it up? No, there's always something to talk about. So we were talking a little bit about the rise of Donald Trump in this campaign season. But I think you have pretty strong thoughts when it comes to Bernie and Hillary as well. Because I know that you ranted against both of them.
You know, I got to say, Patty, some friends of ours have a lovely bonfire every week. And Judy, my lovely wife, doesn't want to go this week because she doesn't want to hear how terrible Hillary Clinton is. Because people are so...
Yeah, what's happening?
It's so strange. I mean, people believe the worst about her. And I'm not a fan. You know, I voted for Bernie, you mm-hmm. know. I think she'll be a good president. I think she'll be tough, you know. But, you know, she's kind of a hawk and, you know, all the stuff about the banks, you know, that's real stuff. But, like, people are just, like, you know, kind of people on the left are kind of reaching this bottom of the barrel right wing stuff. And it's just very bizarre. And
well, people are saying they're going to burn it down.
B-E-R-N.
If it's not burning.
I was in Washington and they have Feeling the Burn, mm-hmm. B-E-R-N, and
I got
an STD check.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
So I don't know. I just don't want to talk about that, frankly. You know, I'd rather talk about Trump.
All right. Let's talk about. Well, after the news, we're going to play some audio. And I know that there's so many things.
We actually have the quote he was looking for right now.
Oh,
if you want, real quick.
Okay.
I know we got about a minute.
That's all right.
Okay, cool.
So basically, this is his speech on his environmental, his global warming policy. Today.
Global warming policy.
American energy dominance will be declared a strategic, economic, and foreign policy goal of the United States. It's about time.
Yeah. So what's funny about that is we all know, like, politicians don't write their own
America
stuff.
America has 1.5 times as much oil as the combined proven resource. Listen to this. As the combined proven resources of all OPEC countries. Think of that. We have more natural gas than Russia, Iran, Qatar, Saudi Arabia combined. We have 3 times more coal than Russia. Our total untapped oil and gas reserves on federal lands equal an estimated $50 trillion.
He's reading it very well.
Right. No, but that's the thing. He's like the first. We all know politicians don't write their own stuff. He's the first politician who doesn't read his own stuff. It literally sounds like he was like reading that for the first time. And then he was commenting on like what he was reading. He's like, wow, that's great.
Let's get more reaction from Rick. We got to take a break here. And we'll listen to a little bit more of that speech. And we can even go back a little bit and take it apart.
Okay.
I don't know why. Not your fault. See, we are playing 50 Shades of Grey. I changed the rules. Craig's like, I can't remember why I rolled that down.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Okay.
You pushed a button and I was like, oh, really? How about if I do this?
I apologize.
No, why should you apologize?
Yeah, I don't know.
No reason to apologize. I apologized for the silence. Rick, don't you think it's a good time to meditate when you hear silence? It's like that. There's some song like
I've heard silence is bad on the radio.
It's terrible. But if you hear silence on my show, it means that you should reflect on your very existence. How's that? Is that acceptable? No?
I'm speechless.
It's too much. Nick Summers is helping us reflect with a lovely cocktail from Howls and Hood. Hey, Nick, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm very well now that you have brought a relaxing cocktail for us to enjoy. You hear my voice has dropped down a little bit?
Yeah.
We were talking about Trump in the last half hour. Now I'm like, whatevs.
Now it's time to drink.
We're done with Trump. Okay.
No, we can talk more Trump.
I was going to explain the spot market for oil, but if you know, you don't.
What's
want
the spot market for oil, and how does Fernet play into that?
It's made out of coal.
It's made. Okay, so he was saying this abundant amount of coal. Right, we have right, like right. 1.5 times
so
the amount.
Yes. He says something that's very popular and very nonsensical, which is that America can become energy independent. Sounds great, right?
Right. Which it appeals. Who does that appeal to?
Everyone.
To say,
you know, you don't want to be dependent on some foreigner,
no.
right?
What?
So, you know, you have control like Mr. Gray does in 50 Shades of Gray, right? Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, energy is like you buy it on an international market. Like, you don't say, we get to keep the energy that we, you know, get out of the ground in Texas and we're going to only sell it in America.
Or is available. He's saying this is what's available and the potential we have, isn't
it? No, it doesn't. We don't get to keep that oil. Oil companies sell that wherever people want to buy it. It's like saying Bangladesh is clothing, you know, independent because they make lots of shirts there.
Right.
Right. They get sold all over the world.
The only reason they do well is because we buy it.
It's just nonsense. I mean, it's just like, you know, he could be saying blah, 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 which is, you know, as far as he's concerned, he is because he's just reading something that someone wrote for him. And in fact, two people wrote it. One was a congressman from North Dakota. The other was someone that prefers not to be named.
Oh, that's never good. You got to be named, Elliot, don't you think?
Yeah. Let's
talk about Frenette.
But talking about the whole thing with Trump, though, that bit about energy independence, let's be honest. That's something that even all presidents have talked about that in the past.
That's
so it's
nonsense.
A very common
very
thing.
Very good point.
Very common thing. And let's be honest. How often do you have someone explain that? I mean,
only on Patty Vasquez's show.
That's right.
Because you sit there and you go, wow, if we have all this coal, we have all this oil, why are we buying stuff from
the
Saudis?
Well, let's talk about the stuff
so
that
on.
Only he says that's nonsense, which is that we, you know, he can bring back coal jobs, right? The reason people don't have coal jobs is because it's all coal mined by robots. You know, it's like, it's not like he can kind of snap his fingers and bring back coal jobs. You know, it's nonsense that we can just.
Can
you know,
he also
drill
bring back those
drill.
Guys that used to come out at the gas station and clean your windshield? And
he can make me 6 feet tall.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
He's like a genie.
That is amazing.
Oh, it's the radio. I'm 6 feet tall, by the way.
Yes, he is. Yeah, you can say whatever you want here. But that's the thing is saying things that are possible, but people want that to be. And why is it the same when you say, well, we're going to help people who are disadvantaged. We're going to bring, you know, we're going
to
bring more jobs in
what,
the in
a
the
communist?
Exactly.
That's socialist, actually.
In solar power or wind energy. How is that like something that's terrible to want to aspire to?
That sounds politically correct.
Oh, is it really?
I guess. I don't know. I think, like, you know, a lot of this is kind of this is very kind of macho, you know, kind of masculine. We're going to drill. We're going to drill. We're going to drill. You know, we're going to, you know, rape the earth and, you know.
Well, that's what Michael Steele said. Drill, baby, drill.
Pillage and, you know, all the rest. Yeah. Sarah said it. I remember it's like the Republican Party is so fascinating. So, like, I was at the convention in, you know, 2012 where America, you know, met Sarah Palin. Was it 2008? And she gives a speech and she says, drill, baby, drill. Like it's been said for the first time and everyone goes crazy. And you go outside of the convention hall and people are selling drill, baby, drill T-shirts.
Yeah.
So it was all set up in advance.
In advance. They already knew what the catchphrase was going to be. They knew it was going to hit home with everybody.
Exactly.
Anyway. It's all good. It'll be fine. It'll all be fine, Elliot. It's all gonna be good.
I'm probably gonna catch some flack. Okay, let's look at it this way. Why is it? I'm gonna play the advocate here. Mm-hmm. Why is it bad to run on a platform that people understand?
Oh, that's great. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like when Franklin Roosevelt, you know, had to convince someone, American people, of something that was very difficult and they didn't want to do, which was help England defeat the Nazis before the Nazis threatened us. You know, he said something beautiful and simple.
Yes.
He said, when your neighbor's house is on fire, you don't walk away, you loan them your garden hose. That's simple, right? And it convinced the American people. It's fine saying things.
But did he?
Persuasive.
I mean, it doesn't seem like the American people didn't really get involved. They were isolationists.
He managed to convince. He managed to turn people around, and he managed to pass this act that basically sold weapons to England on very generous terms. Because he explained it, this fine being a persuasive politician is great. you know, saying that you're going to affect the most massive ethnic transfer of human beings in the history of mankind, you know, that will require, you know, like a police officer on every corner knocking down doors.
Has he said that?
Well, that's what he, that's if he says that he's going to like deport 12 million people from the United States, that's what it amounts to.
Right. How do people think we're going to extricate?
Magic.
Right. Oh, okay.
You know, the same way he, you know, manages to, you know, keep his hair covering his head. You know, I don't know.
And I think what people want, they just don't want to be at the mercy of the system. That's how they seem to feel. They don't want to be
at the
mercy. Right. So whatever solution it is.
That's demagoguery. You know, he provides simple solutions to problems that are very real.
Right.
Right? People's sense of helplessness. And they should feel helpless because they're being screwed.
Well...
Can I say that?
Yes. I laugh because it's like that's the basic thing that it comes at. People feel like they're being screwed, right. Whether it's in the state of Illinois, right. In the United States, the city of Chicago, wherever you are, you feel like you're being screwed. And I asked this one night, and I because the Republican Party has often been the party of we not a handout, but a hand up, right?
Unless you're a petroleum company.
Yes. But my question has been, we often talk about what's being done to us. Mm-hmm. What are we doing, right? What are we doing to be proactive, regardless of party? What are you doing to make the world a better place? What are you doing to make your day a better day? Except if it's just being angry, mm-hmm. what are you doing to move things forward? Is it to blame the system? Is it to blame your neighbor? Is it to blame the immigrants? Is it blame
Muslims?
And
that's why, you know, that's why leadership is so important, right? Because, like, great leaders call people to their better angels.
Right.
You know, they don't pull them down. They raise us up.
And who do we have that does that anymore?
Well, you know, I mean, I like Bernie. I like Hillary Clinton. You know, I think they're good leaders. I think that, you know, Hillary Clinton has talked about love a lot. You know, she's talking about, like, you know.
But she seems to push people away. It doesn't seem to be the kind of campaign that, I mean, people aren't, they're not responding to it.
Right. Well, you know, she's actually has some very passionate supporters, but you don't really hear about that. But the
people
fact
are afraid.
Is,
people are afraid to come out and say that they like Hillary.
Right. It's true. I have my sister-in-law in Berkeley said, I am not going to put a Hillary bumper sticker because all my Bernie friends.
You're right. I haven't seen any Hillary stickers.
Right,
I only see Bernie stickers.
Intimidated.
And I haven't seen any Trump stickers either, though.
And you got to understand about Hillary Clinton. You know, like, people have been spending tens and tens of millions of dollars to besmirch this woman's reputation for decades. Right? Whitewater. It was all made up. She was completely exonerated.
But didn't she kill that guy, Vince?
Oh, and she actually... She actually fathered Hillary with her law partner, Webster Hubble.
I'm so confused. I need a diagram.
Benghazi.
Oh, yeah.
And Libya.
All right. What's in the box? Craig, what's in the box? Before we take a break, 312-981-7200, we have a pair of tickets to the producers. We have an Apt Electronics gift card, so you're going to win either way. By the way, Craig, I can forward that to our good friend Steve Shapiro, who says, hey, always let him know when we're out. And we're out. But we have those available for you for What's in the Box. Before we take a break, though, I want to find out from Nick, what is in the Fernet that we are enjoying?
Well, a lot of nice, cool things. We got some thyme. We got some ramps. Lemon,
what's a ramp?
Lime.
Garlic stems.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
A pickle ramps.
It's like an
after
dinner kind of cocktail, you know.
Yeah.
And then we were kind of playing with it. It's different every time, and we use like ingredients, roots, and stuff that are like in season. So, yeah, you know, it's just our twist on a Fernet, and we use our Amaro, which is an Italian liqueur. So you're gonna get some caramel notes and things like that. It kind of reminds me of like a prime rib on the rocks. I don't know.
It does. It's hearty.
He said
I would say it's
some
hearty.
Ingredients that he's not allowed to mention. They're secret ingredients.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's...
Well, I can't say those. My mom doesn't even tell me the stuff, you know.
Oh, boy.
Or, you know,
Mama
so
Summers is getting us all in trouble.
But there are some cloves floating in here.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all goodness.
Getting it done.
312-981-7200. We're playing What's in the Box when we come back on 720.